Welcome to Justice Is Now, the podcast. Justice Is Now is a charity with an aim of increasing the conviction rates regarding sexual violence. In each episode, we will be discussing various issues relating to this from many angles and discussing how education for criminal barristers could be changed. We will also be looking at understanding offending behaviour on a deeper level. And of course, we will continue to amplify the voices of survivors. Learn more about the work of Justice Is Now. All the details are below each episode, or you can surf there right now on www.justiceisnow.org. And it is only fair to give you a trigger warning. This podcast does contain graphic descriptions and frank discussion of sexual violence. Some listeners may find it disturbing or triggering, so please practice self-care. And if you don't think it's for you, then please don't listen. We receive no government funding for this important work, and so we're entirely reliant on donations. So if you can help us at all, please donate on the website www.justiceisnow.org. Thank you.
This is really talking about Netflix Baby Reindeer and how I think it's just resonated with so many people who've been victims of sexual violence in their lifetime, particularly after the rape, and the you know, just as we often talk about, like, there is no way that you know how to react in those situations, and you know, you've got to think, like, offenders know that's why they offend, because they're anticipating that you won't know how to react in a situation, or they're thinking that, you know, if 98% of people freeze a piece, then essentially they will be able to offend. So I think that highlighted that in a really quite incredible way. And what was frustrating for me was afterwards I went and read it and read comments, and actually, no, so many people were saying what I said, but there are a few people who went back to visit the guy who, you know, abused him and raped him. And, you know, this is what we always talk about. If you think about losing power in a situation and you want a rewrite of a narrative, like, there was more to it than the fact that you are just being used for their pleasure, basically, and for them to offend on. So if you think about it like that, your brain wants a narrative to be different because your brain wants to feel safe again and your body wants to feel safe again. It may just be about also survival of a situation. So you think he got into that place where he'd been a victim and he came out. Yes, he didn't actually have the words to say what he wanted to say or do anything, but the point is he came out and he survived without being assaulted. And I think that's really, I mean, that's amazing that, you know, he's come out of that. And the offender has lost power there because he couldn't do what he did to him before. That point, I think, is sort of being missed a little bit with some people. But yeah, it's very important just to think about. I keep going back to this, but I think we talk so much about victim reactions, but we don't talk enough about offending behaviour. And you just see it throughout this drama. In the same way, you know, and I May Destroy You, a drama where at the end of that, she was a victim of rape in toilets, and so it's about her life, how she deals with it afterwards. And there's this scene and this episode which is really, really hard to watch, very triggering if you're a survivor of sexual violence or you've worked with people who are. And it's this bit where there's like four days she's presenting it, how it could have been different. So she meets this guy at the bar and, you know, it's suddenly like this passionate love affair, and that's okay. Or she meets this guy at the bar and she's able to take him out. And it's all these different narratives which would have been, you know, safe to the brain and safety, basically, and your well-being. But that's not what happened. And that is such a powerful, powerful way of describing how you survive sexual violence, and how your brain is so difficult to accept that there is no change. Like, you can't ever change what has happened to you. And that's hard, because you want to be able to change that narrative. So, again, in Baby Reindeer, what I thought he did so well was that bit after he was assaulted, and it affected all his different thoughts about sexuality. There was a point where he was masturbating when he was had to watch extreme pornography. And that was really confusing for him. But again, if you think about it and just go back to the brain, if your brain is trying to rewrite the narrative and be able to cope with it. So if you think about all that built up in his head, it might just have been a release, in a sense of, that's okay to find something like that. Stimulating, it just takes back control in a strange way of that situation. So I completely thought that again was really powerful. And then the other thing that was just amazing was how they did it in quite a short way, where they showed him being like really promiscuous, and putting him in risky situations, in a sense of not risky, risky in the sense that that's what he said. It's like risky situations. He sort of just didn't care anymore, and he just had sex with everybody and consensually, and just pushed it around them because he felt so kind of like, sort of like, it's just going to happen anyway type feeling, or it's happened now. And that's what my identity is this peace. Like, that's what my identity is now, isn't it? It's just this sort of being, like sexual being, because it was just so broken from what he'd been through. And I think that is, again, something which I battle with when trying to talk to people about understanding sexual violence and the impact that it has on people, and also about like re-victimization. It's just like it's kind of going into, like, if you think about the psyche of, even if you think about, you were bullied, right? And you were 4 years old and you were really bullied by an 8 year old. And then you maybe learnt ways to survive that. But there's other ways which, there's other parts, and then you keep getting bullied for some reason and you feel like you're always getting bullied. But sometimes that's just, it's like, it's because it's a heart, it's like, it's so deep anyway, the psychology of all of this. But I always go back to the baseline of all we need to really think about in terms of sexual violence reactions is baseline safety and your brain wanting you to be safe and secure, and everything that has happened to you has shattered your understanding of safety. So keep going back to that and keep thinking about offending behaviour, like offenders. Why do they offend? What do they get out of it? And if you watch that, you could see that for the male rape in that situation, it was definitely, the gratification that he got from that, that complete power, that control, just using that person like they weren't, very dehumanised. And then if you looked at her, well, actually, she may be using him for a different way, but it's still gratification. So she sexually assaulted him and he froze. And I thought, again, that was so powerful because, some people are probably going to hate me for saying this, but like, I feel like when you're talking about sexual violence happening to women, it's kind of like people are like, yeah, we've heard this all before. And it's hard to cut through the noise about exactly what happens to you when you are a victim of sexual violence. And consistently, so let's say you've been a victim of sexual assault 4 times in your lifetime, and you just kind of bury it away, and then it starts affecting you in other ways, and I think, like, with this, because people don't really like, or don't seem to talk about male rape enough, male sexual assault enough, it cut through because it's like something people haven't heard before or seen before. And that's why I think it's so glad that this drama was made. Just really important, and I so hope that it will cut through a bit more and people just start to see like offending behavior for what it is. And there are other people who can deal with offending behavior. There are other people who can work on trying to help people, you know, before they become offenders. But unfortunately, I have to say, in sexual violence, like, it's not like you can just go, and I hate people do this anyway, oh, well, they've had a hard childhood and this and that, so they're going to become an offender. It's not that simple. Life doesn't work that way. I'm not saying there aren't precipitating factors. And obviously, when you look at things like serial killers, we've got lots of people who've identified traits and that sort of stuff. But then you think about, you know, what about the person who's grown up in a happy family home? That goes against all the kind of risk factors that are always put forward. And I think, you know, things aren't that simple. But in terms of sexual violent offending, if there are early, like we do know that earlier levels of offending, things need to be stopped then. So we know, obviously, with Sarah Everard and like the flashing that went on earlier, and really seeing those smaller offences as bigger offences, because it's always like testing the boundaries. And when you're an offender, everything is like, what can I get away with? Let's just think about it. In drugs, like if you're a drug dealer, well, what can I get away with and how much? You know, but damage control. And that was the other thing, actually, because like we often think about, we don't, we like, we've all done this where we see drugs as kind of like separate and recreational. But yesterday, in that, watching that, when the offender used drugs so much as a way of coercing and abusing him, and particularly in his offences, it really does make you feel like how much maybe we don't see the damage like severe drugs has on people, and the abuse, like maybe that's involved in that. So I just wanted to take a moment outside of the usual like podcast interviews, just to share thoughts really on Baby Reindeer, because we think it's just like, for us as a charity, it's something which we would continue to advocate being made. And thank you so much to Netflix for doing it, and obviously the amazing amazing writer, just being able to share that story is incredible, Richard Gadd. So thanks again, you know, everyone involved in that. From our perspective as a charity, it just helps so much. But it shouldn't have to be made, should it? That's the thing, you know, if these things didn't happen in the first place. But that is the world we live in. You're never going to get rid of offenders, but let's make sure we're blaming offenders, not always blaming the victims.
If you've been affected by anything you've heard in today's episode, there is support for you. All the support lines are listed in detail in the show notes of each episode. Do feel free to reach out and access any support you need. Thank you once again for listening to the Justice Is Now podcast.